I got a text message a couple nights ago. Kenny Isaacs texted me and said, things in Haiti are pretty bad. And we're getting our teams down there. Would it be a problem if Lance or Elliot can't come to PFR and speak at the Missionary Medicine Seminar? And so I kind of told him, yeah, that would be a little bit of a problem. Since you all came here to listen to the speakers. And he said, well, what if I gave you one of them? I said, okay, yeah. I said, either Lance or Elliot could be here, and, you know, they're free to leave the next day, but, yeah, one of them could go ahead and give both lectures. And he said, okay, well, that's good, because Lance is already in Haiti. So we have Elliot Tenpenny, who is going to come up. He's going to be giving both his lecture as well as Lance's lecture. And so I'm going to let him kind of just give one, and then we'll probably stop for a couple minutes and answer questions if there's time, and then we'll go right into the next one. Elliot Tenpenny received his medical degree from the University of Tennessee in Memphis. He completed an emergency medicine residency at the Mayo Clinic. He was then one of our post-residency fellows through Samaritan's Purse and worked at Nankundi Hospital and Pioneer Christian Hospital in the Democratic Republic of Congo. He is now an emergency medicine specialist for Samaritan's Purse through the International Disaster Response Unit, and he was the medical director for the first deployment of the emergency field hospital in Ecuador, April through July of this year. So he is going to begin by talking about disaster assistance response teams, an overview. And then, as I said, he'll then move into his lecture, Implementing an Emergency Field Hospital.
So, yes, this was going to be Lance Plyler's lecture, as you can tell. I left his name on there, just so everyone knows. You got the short end of the stick, but I'll do my best here. So, first off, with disaster assistance response teams, a quick summary. Dave did a great job talking about the DART team and how it interfaces with medical missions and exactly what it is and exactly what we do. I'm going to delve a little bit more into the team in this lecture and give you a couple more examples. We're going to watch a few videos during this lecture. Just try to picture yourself in these situations. What would you do? How would you act? And then remember Dave's words. If you haven't been, it really doesn't matter. We need each and every one of you. So in this program, our goals were committed to meeting critical needs of victims of war, poverty, famine, in the name of Jesus Christ. Speed is of the utmost priority, and you'll hear me say that again and again and again, because as Kenny Isaacs likes to say, I forget the quote every single time, but it's that's it. Quality of our work is the platform of our witness. And in the beginning of a disaster, it's defined as speed and who gets there first. The DART program is comprised of people just like you and me that are ready on a moment's notice to head out, whether it be a place like Acha, whether it be mobile medical mission, or whether it be a full disaster field hospital like we had in Ecuador. Some of the things that we have to do as physicians and nurses and medical personnel is be available. That is the biggest criteria, is simply placing yourself as available to us to be able to serve. That means we have to have a flexible schedule and be able to go for 2 weeks, up to a month at a time. Some people have a high level of prior humanitarian experience, but that's not an absolute prerequisite. But we can be deployed to dangerous places. Living conditions can be very tough. We subsist on MREs quite often. To know that ahead of time and to be prepared for that is very important. Like Dave said, the DART team is not a medical team. It's a multi-sectorial team. And I'll say this a few different times, but the Haitian proverb that I love that says, giving medicine without giving food is like washing your hands and drying them in the dirt. You have to not only give medicine, but you also have to give food. You also have to provide shelter. If someone is cured of their disease, their diarrhea, and goes home and drinks out of the river, what have we done? They'll be back soon enough. And our biblical basis is the same basis that Samaritan's Purse always uses. Luke 10:37. Go and do likewise. We look for the people and the places that are in the ditch of life in the worst circumstances, and we try to pick them up, no matter where they exist in the world. We're going to talk a little bit about the details of the DART team structure in just a minute. This DART program has an incident command system. It's what we call the Emmett DART system. It's the framework of everything we do. It's what happens at headquarters here, feeds directly into what happens on the DART team, on the field, in a very organized and intentional fashion. It allows us to be incredibly intentional and productive in what we're doing, not just running around trying to find something to do, but intentionally focusing in and being productive with our time. And like I said, it's not just medicine, it's a team. These are some of the big sectors we do. Non-food items, tarp, hygiene kits, which right now are being distributed in Haiti in large quantities. Shelter, intermediate shelter, long-term shelter. Water and hygiene, one of the most critical, providing clean water through distributing small filters, through large wells, through water filter systems, through food and nutrition, and also through medicine, and that's where we come in. On this next slide, I want to just give you a picture. This is a video that was made after Haiti, but I just want to show it to you because I think it does a great job at showing how these sectors come together, how medicine is used, but it also needs wash, shelter. We'll just take a look at that.
I've always, since very young, I've always been very worried about Haiti. It's always been troubled in this country. This past year, I think, has been an acceleration of the downward spiral. It's just been earthquake, then hurricanes, now we have cholera, you've had economic hardship. It's just like been one on top of each other.
The Haitian people, we are going through a test right now, and we are going to pass the test. I believe, with all my heart, God will heal this country.
It's been almost a year since the earthquake in Haiti, and if you drive through Port-au-Prince, if you drive through Layagon, what you'll see is hundreds of thousands of people still living in tents, people living in squalid conditions. You'll see streets blocked with rubble. For the most part, when you look at the big scheme of things, that very little has been done. So it remains a chronically poor country. It remains a catastrophic disaster.
I'm Haitian, and I'm very ashamed of how my ancestors, how my own class, my own friends have treated this place. This is totally unacceptable, and I will not stand for it. I will do everything that is in my power to do something about it.
Haiti is our country. It's our duty to work to restore our country. Like me, there are a lot of Haitian people working with Samaritan Purse to help to restore Haiti. I'm working on the water system. There are plenty of people who drink water from canal, from the rivers. But when Samaritan Purse came with this project, we installed so many water systems. They have good water right now. They drink good water, safe water right now.
Gen lè se bon Dieu menm ki vwe Samaritan Purse e pou peyi d'Haïti pou sove nou pa rapport avèk epidemi sa menm. E pandan epidemi kolera e paret nan peyi a la, pandan nan mouman Samaritan vin bay dwa li bon pou nou anpil, paske anpil moun tap getan mouri kolera.
If you get cholera, it can kill you in about 12 hours if you have an acute case. And if you don't get treated immediately, it's a death sentence. We've got doctors, we've got nurses. There's been real political problems here in the country the last few weeks. This place has been difficult for people to get to because of roadblocks, the riots that have been in the street. But my staff, Samaritan's staff, has not run. They have not fled. They have stayed here day after day, helping these people that have really no hope. A few weeks ago, this center where we are right here, City Soleil, didn't exist. This was just a garbage dump. After Carl, we went to the owner. We told him we needed a place for Carl Clinic. He gave us this land. We built this 200-bed facility.
When Samaritan first came and they asked me to use this field to do it, I didn't blink. And I said, listen, go ahead. And look at how busy the hospital is, you know, saving lives here right now.
Hey, buddy.
The children here in Haiti have had just a very difficult year. There's the earthquake, there's been cholera, many of them have suffered, they've lost loved ones, and Operation Christmas Child is going to distribute around 250,000 gifts to children, focusing especially on the ones that were affected by the earthquake.
Merry Christmas.
Can you say Merry Christmas?
Happy Noel.
What Christmas is all about is about God's Son coming to this earth to take our sins. The fact that God loves us, and these children right here, God loves them. And I want them to know that they aren't forgotten, that people around the world haven't forgotten them. They've suffered a lot this year, but more importantly, God has not forgotten them. God loves them.
Since the earthquake, Samaritan's Purse has been able to build over 10,000 temporary shelters. These are the blue plastic wrap tin roof shelters.
The Lord has blessed the organization of Samaritan's Purse and me personally with the ability to help people in their time of need. When I'm able to look into the eyes of a lady as she moves into her home, or a child as they peer out of their brand new blue house, the whole world has changed for that family. And it's very, very rewarding.
As we look into 2011, we'll be building more temporary shelters. We're also exploring how we can use compact earth blocks to rebuild schools, Christian schools that fell down. Children have to have an education, they need to go back to school. And of course, we will continue with a rubble removal program over in Layagon, the epicenter of the earthquake.
For me, Samaritan First is not only an NGO. They are coming to work like brother and sister. They don't only provide shelter, food for us, but they also bring the gospel of God for us.
This is going to be a long-term commitment for Samaritan's Purse. We're going to be here for years to come. And I hope when it's all said and done, the Church of Jesus Christ will be seen coming up out of the ashes and out of the rubble here in Haiti.
If the Lord is not the builder of the house, he who builds it works in vain. I want the new Haiti to be rebuilt on Jesus Christ.
So you saw a couple of different things there. You saw shelter, food, water, medicine. You even saw Operation Christmas Child. In the first disaster that I was a part of, I wondered how shoeboxes for children ever played into a disaster until we arrived on site and were met by three different churches that had distributed shoeboxes for 10 years and said, we'll take you exactly where you need to go. Partners like that all around the world is what this kind of a ministry is built on. And this here is what we call the Emmett Dart structure. Ken Isaacs in the early 2000s was the head of OFDA, the Organization for Foreign Disaster Assistance. It's the arm of the USAID, the U.S. government, that responds to disasters, that does grant work. And when he came back, he brought this with him. And this is the Emmett Dart structure. Emmett stands for Incident Management Team, and Dart stands, as you've heard many times, for a Disaster Assistance Response Team. The dark blue at the top represents the team that is at international headquarters all the time. Whenever we go into a disaster, there are team members, response managers, coordinators of every single sector, the different admin coordinators, program coordinators that are backing us up in every single bit of the programming we do. And they have a corollary in the field, and that's the dark team leader with the program officer and multiple other roles there. And just a little bit more detail, this IMIT, as we call it, incident management team, is a small team. A small team in a room in North Carolina, and that leads this response. They direct and provide guidance to the DART on the field and provide all the logistical and administrative support that we require. Medically, we have epidemiologists at our use that, for instance, right now are predicting the spread of cholera, that are looking at what's happening right now in Haiti, what's historical, where the rivers are, where the people are that have had it before, and saying it's going to go in that direction. That's where you need to go and set up so we can get ahead of it instead of behind it trying to respond. The DART team, as you've heard multiple times, I won't elaborate on it too much, but is a rapid deployment team with corollary roles to every role on the IMIT. And they're the ones that are actually on the ground directing the day-to-day response. Medically, I want to talk a little bit more about the venues we use in disaster teams. As Dave was saying, we can use mobile medical teams, but I'll elaborate a little more. We use affiliate mission hospitals. Many of the World Med mission hospitals around the world are some of the go-to places that we go whenever there's a disaster. A great example is Baptist Haiti Mission in Haiti after the earthquake, or Anandabhan Christian Hospital after the earthquake in Nepal. Both served as the site of the disaster assistance response team. If that's not available, they use national hospitals. Like we did in Ecuador, we partnered with a national hospital, built our emergency field hospital, and they helped us staff that. And lastly, the full emergency field hospital can be deployed anywhere in the world in a short amount of time, and we'll talk about that more in just a little while.
At 5 o'clock in the morning, there was strong winds. It became so strong that it was deafening, the pressure of the air. It was a test of faith. I was thinking, Lord, you can save us from this. But still, one of my kids was saying, Mama, I'm so afraid. We keep on singing, with Christ in my vessel, He will see us through the storm. I ran to the hospital and I saw all the wreckage, and I went directly to the emergency room. It was full of people. Most of them were injured. Some were nearly drowned. People are bleeding and desperate and really wanted to be attended to. But I told them, I'm all alone. I need God's strength and I need God's wisdom to handle you all.
God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done. Dramatic changes since we first arrived here on campus at Schistosomiasis Control and Research Hospital. It's been incredibly challenging just because the airport's down. You have to hop from island to island to transport. We've been able to break through those barriers through a lot of prayer and determination. We have now our staff in place working side by side with the Filipino staff.
The presence of Samaritan Purse helped us have relief from the fatigue. Your presence here is an answer to my prayer.
Every 12 hours, so twice a day, and you want to do it for seven days. I am here because I truly believe that as a Christian, we are to respond to disasters by displaying Christ's love and by treating the most vulnerable. We got his blood pressure medication this morning.
But I'd like to dress it tomorrow, so we will see.
I think we should retain some.
instead of trying for the last good vein, maybe.
I like Samaritan's Purse because they go to the areas that are hardest hit, so I always know when I go with Samaritan's Purse that we're gonna go to the areas that need us the most.
They have aspirin, but not that much. They only have one box left. We are providing medications, supplies, medical personnel to ensure that everybody that does come does receive adequate medical care.
A lot of the babies coming in have diarrhea or pneumonia, some kind of gastrointestinal or respiratory illness.
The reason why she has pneumonia is because she actually has been exposed to other kids that have been ill at the evacuation center. It's been very crowded since the typhoon. This baby lost her mother after the typhoon, as well as her sister, and it's really difficult to breastfeed her. And it's gonna be very important, because otherwise she's gonna become dehydrated. So we need to figure out a way to make sure that she actually gets enough food while she's taking her antibiotics.
The patients coming in, their stories are, they're just tragic, all of them. But they all manage to stay positive. They're so thankful and generous. You talk to the Filipino people, they say that God is the reason they're here, that they've survived. He's their hope, so I'm learning that he's very faithful.
A great example of a national hospital we partnered with and what you guys can expect when you volunteer with us. Couple other pictures here of things that we've seen in the past and different kinds of responses, battling spiritual warfare. As it says here, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We meet opposition on the field in every single response. It manifests itself in different ways, but it's spiritual warfare in its purest form. Picture of the Baptist Haiti mission. We've talked about it multiple times. Lance Plyler and Dr. John Potts there, two individuals who started with World Medical Mission here, and they began to volunteer. The cholera response in 2010 and 2011 in Bercy. Christ, the great physician, heals the sick. This, when we had plans for cholera treatment centers that were of a medium size, and they ended up swelling to 250 beds. And the needs that presented themselves here. But the same little person here, you can see the miraculous recovery of the sick, that Christ is with us in each and everything we do, in each and every patient we touch. Teamwork, it's one of the biggest things that we strive for. Showing others Christ through our actions and the team and the spirit that we exhibit on the field. And this is a picture of that team with Dr. Gettle there in the background. Diversity in the body. This is another picture of the thanks at the end of the Philippines deployment by the local hospital there, the Schistosomiasis Research and Treatment Hospital. Not the first place you would think during a disaster, but partnered with the DART team, became one of the main epicenters for patients. And then the stories that we probably all know, especially if you were here last year and heard Dr. Brantley speak of Dr. Brantley's struggle and with Ebola during this time. And it was a DART team on the ground helping to set up hospitals. And you'll hear more about this from Kelly Seitz tomorrow, that was able to give Dr. Brantley the ZMAP, help nurse him through this and get him on the airplane home. Nepal, 7.8 earthquake in 2015, killing 8,000 people and injuring more than 21,000 others. You can see one of our crack reconnaissance teams here. You may recognize a few of those people, Dr. Furman, Dr. Plyler. They're doing reconnaissance in the Dukala district. And then the Anandaban Hospital, where we treated leprosy and acute emergencies after that earthquake. And lastly, we're going to touch on this a lot more in the next lecture, but this is the field hospital, the picture of the field hospital over and above Chone, Ecuador. And you guys may have seen this next video before, but it gives a great background for what we're going to be talking about for the next 30 minutes.
It was unexpected. I felt so scared. I thought the end of the world was coming. I could see all the lights in the street were shaking from side to side and hear the booms and the crashes as the houses around me began to collapse and people were running out.
Pensé mil cosas, que el techo se me venía encima y que quizás nunca más podría ver a mi hija.
Ecuador suffered a 7.8 earthquake. Some of the country is unscathed, but there are parts of it that are absolutely leveled. Over 500 people were killed. There are tens of thousands of people without a place to live. A house just like this behind me, parts of it is still standing, but there's no way you can live in it. And there's still aftershocks, and buildings are still crumbling. People are still getting hurt. Samaritan's Purse, we responded quickly. We have a field hospital that is already up and running. There's a lot of need. We've come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right now in the emergency field hospital, we have one operating room and 32 beds. Behind me, the first tent right here is our triage tent. This is where they're primarily assessed. Then the larger tent behind it is the emergency room, and I think that we have about 13 or 15 beds in the emergency room. Then in the other tents, we have a male ward and a female ward. We've got staff living quarters. We have a tent where our pharmacy is. We have a tent where the operating room is. We've got generators. All of this is self-contained, but everything that we have come here with came on the DC-8.
So this is Samaritan's first field hospital. Samaritan's Purse has had hospitals in other countries before, but this is its maiden voyage. It's the first time it's been put up in the field. And this is kind of the opportunity to test it out and to be able to help the Ecuadorian people.
This hospital is a godsend. I mean, I know it's a lot of guys have been working on it for quite a while, and this was a fitting situation to finally deploy it. It is mind-blowing what they've done here in such a short period of time.
Everything that you see behind me in the emergency field hospital, we loaded it onto our DC-8 in Greensboro, North Carolina, and the plane is called a combi. The front two-thirds are for storage, and the back one-third is for passengers. That DC-8 has also a 7,000-mile range on it. We can go anywhere in the world with it. We landed here, our plane was offloaded, and it holds a lot of stuff. I mean, it can carry about 40 tons worth of cargo. If we didn't have that DC-8, we would never be able to respond this quickly and with this kind of reach and with all of the people and all of the stuff that we need to set an operation like this up.
The day of the earthquake, Maria was playing with her cousins and some siblings at the park when the earthquake began. She actually ran from that site, and a small wall had fallen on her leg. She unfortunately sustained some fractures, and of course she did need surgery. Early this morning we did surgery. She's doing great. Post-operatively, she looks great. Vital signs have been stable.
She's gonna need a ventilator.
So her daughter's out of surgery. She's okay.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, mom at the same time came in sick with bilateral pneumonia. She's having a seizure right now.
Can we just get the O2?
But yeah, it's kind of, this family, unfortunately, really needs a lot of prayer.
It's crushing. This is a horrible crisis. A lot of people have lost a lot of their livelihood, their lives, their loved ones. We're always looking for more, prayer, support. We can never ask that enough. That's why we're all here.
There's also a little boy named Ishmael in the ward, and Ishmael was burned. I think a pot of hot water came off the stove during the shaking, and he's burned down his backside and down his legs. And he reminds me of my grandson. And you see them come in, and they're broken. Every one of those people are very important.
Simplemente que nos sigan ayudando a poder salir de esto que estamos, porque ya ella Pernales quedó casi perdido. Y la solidaridad de la gente que nos ayude.
We can only do this. We can only come to places like this because of partners like you that stand behind us. So thank you for helping us. We need your prayers. The people of this nation need your prayers. So thank you. Remember Ecuador.
We'll continue to talk a lot more about the field hospital in the next lecture, but in the just to leave a little bit of time for questions, I want to just make a call again, just like Dr. Gettle did. I want you guys to examine yourself. You don't need any special skills. You don't have to be Superman. You don't have to be a tremendous surgeon or a tremendous emergency medicine doctor. You just have to be willing to go. And I would ask you guys, each and every one of you, to think about how you can serve with the DART teams in the future. We'd love to have you. Yeah.
We have time for maybe one question. Maybe two if they're quick.
The tents?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're air column tents, and they're pretty well sealed. You don't have to keep pumps going on them, but you just have to monitor them every now and again for pressure and fill them back up. Yeah.
Do you have a predicted need for Haiti in the near future?
Right now, we are deploying a cholera treatment center that in the southeast, and we're monitoring it right now. Right now, it's localized hotspots that we're dealing with. But we're looking at it and to make sure it's not going to any larger population centers, and that's going to be the real tick off for us to do a larger response. But for right now, it's localized cholera treatment centers. Anybody else? Well, thank you, guys.